kids talk about that all the time, and to me, that very clearly is a sixth tradition violation to do that from the podium, a fifth tradition violation to do it from the podium. I mean, personally, on the QT, it's just fine. Doesn't make a bit of difference. But from the podium, why would you need to? Anyway, I mean, I was dismayed. I really, really thought that my recovery was in serious danger and based on something that didn't in reality exist. Except in my dreams. And this one guy, I sought out this one guy who just very simply identified himself as an addict. He was a big old guy, wore bib overalls. Most of you knew him before he died, and he gave me a hug and said it was going to be okay. But I didn't believe him. That wasn't enough of an answer. I went there for 4 days in a row, and I heard all kinds of BS. You know, I mean, political stuff. This faction worrying about this turf and protecting it, and this faction worrying about that turf and protecting. You know how service. You ever been to a service meeting? No. Don't get no better. I'd never seen the Pacific Ocean, so I went out on the Pacific Ocean full of despondency, full of despair, right back to where I was in the beginning and thinking that I was, and this whole recovery thing was hopeless. Just a dream, you know, just a fantasy in my mind, and I sat there on, it was 40 degrees, you see. There wasn't anybody there from California. Now, I'm from Ohio. 4 degrees ain't too bad, and I never saw the Pacific Ocean, and I sat there on this deserted beach, and the waves beat up on the shore. I'm full of this despair and this anguish, and the waves are beating up on the shore. And each time those rhythmic waves beat up on the shore, a little bit of that anguish drained away. And after about a half hour or 45 minutes of that, I started to feel just a little bit lighter-hearted. And after about an hour of that, praying to this thing that I'd learned to call God, and just listening to those waves beat up on the shore, I started to realize I was going to be okay. I started to realize it was going to be okay. I started to realize, and I soon then believed and was filled with the certainty that we weren't going to be allowed to screw this thing up. And that I'd heard the truth. And I learned the 11th step. The steps got me. I didn't get them. I keep working through those principles because I've recognized in retrospect that those are the principles that set me free from that hopelessness, from that despair, from the very disease addiction, free from the total and complete influence that it had over my life before I started to recover. Now, they tell me I'll never be recovered. I maintain that I am a recovered drug addict, and that in order to maintain the situation of recovering from addiction, I have to stay a recovered drug addict. But some of you think that's semantics, so I won't bring that up. I joined a subcommittee. My recovery was more enhanced by that effort than anything else because the subcommittee was willing to listen to me and I got to share and be a part of and talk. At that point in time, all service in Narcotics Anonymous was participatory. That meant if you wanted to help, you got to help. You know, you got at the very least to type or to rub shoulders or to at any level, at all levels of service. Because we as a fellowship believed in this thing that says that we haven't got leaders, but rather this spirit or this energy that defines our group conscience as the ultimate authority. Obviously, we don't believe in it anymore. But we believed in it then. And we didn't have a book. We didn't have a basic text. And I joined the literature committee because I really wanted for us to have a book. And I wanted to see what I could do to help. And some other people joined, and we kept getting these letters in the mail. You are the book. The story that you carry around that can help someone else better than any other story there is. It's imperative that you write it down and you send it in and you let it become a part of what will be our basic text. I missed the first two conferences. I made the third one at Memphis. All this Bo, if you don't know Bo, you should. Bo carried around all this input that he gathered from fellowship-wide in a big old steamer trunk. Three people would walk into a room with it on their shoulders. You know, he was about staging. And then everybody was included. Everybody who wanted to be a part of got to be. And I'm sure that it moved a lot more slowly because of that. But you know what? When we put limitations on service, when we put credentials on service, we limit the voice of this loving ultimate authority. When we say you don't have enough time or you don't come from the right place or you don't have a big enough degree in order to participate, we limit the voice of God that can only come through you and nobody else. Everybody was included. And at Memphis, we drafted something called the review form of the basic text, the gray book. And we distributed it to all the registered groups of Narcotics Anonymous in the world, all 600 of them. That was it. This is in March of 1981. By May of 1981, there were 81 meetings in Ohio. From July of 79, when the first meeting started, to May of 81, there were 81 meetings. In that same period of time, we'd had the first East Coast Convention up north in Pennsylvania. And there was a growing movement of people who weren't caught up in the old how it was done stigma and only had the little white book and called themselves addicts and believed in one program, one fellowship, one disease, and what I perceive to be the truth, that once you're addicted to any mind or mood-altering chemical, you're addicted to all of them, no matter what it is. And what we're all powerless over is no chemical, no symptom, but rather the underlying cause of the thing, the disease, addiction. And there were a group of people, perhaps they couldn't completely verbalize that in a real eloquent fashion, but they believed that. And after Memphis, almost everyone from all the far-flung places identified themselves very simply as an addict, went home, started new meetings, and joined this literature movement, this definition movement, this coming of age of Narcotics Anonymous. Had literature committees at home, talked about the program, wrote stuff in meetings, and sent it in, because in the front of that gray review form was a request. Send us all your input. Tell us what's wrong, what's right, what's good, what's bad about this. And every single scrap of input written on napkins, sent in audio tapes, telephoned, every last piece of input was somehow incorporated through the Santa Monica Literature Conference, the Warren, Ohio Literature Conference, and then finally the Florida Literature Conference, and into what ended up being our approval form. That period of time was from March of 1981 until November of 1981, a very short period of time, our estimate was that well over 100,000 recoveries, addicts, individual people, participated in this effort in one way or another, from attendance sheets at local literature committees that came into the World Lit Committee. Every last piece of it was incorporated into the approval form that then was distributed to the entire fellowship, over 3,000 groups in from March of 81 until November of 81. Then in May of 1982, it came on the floor of the World Service Conference, and it was unanimous, or very nearly unanimous, that this was our basic text. And Narcotics Anonymous had a book. That open participatory literature committee existed for about another year and a half or 2 years, and 13 pamphlets were written. If you're curious about what they are, I'll tell you later. And then it started to close down. Some things started to happen in NA service. The book appeared to be able to generate huge volumes of money. And money, property, and prestige has always been a large problem for us. And some opportunistic folks believed that they knew how we should deal with that. Participating in that changed me more than anything in my early recovery. And the problem is that I don't get to keep it, because I can't give it away. I can't share it with you. I can't say, go do that, be a part of that, because that no longer exists. We heard something earlier about all the literature being a good thing. There's two kinds of literature on our tables. There's literature written by addicts for us, by us for us, and that you can trust. You can trust it in the middle of the night. You can trust the recovery from addiction that it's included in it. And there's a bunch of other literature that's written by a group of people who think they know what's in our best interest, but not by us. Now, we've delegated that to them. We've delegated that right, but most people won't tell you about it like it really is. You know, if the Bible helps you, I think that's wonderful. If the Torah helps you, I think that's wonderful. If I'm okay, you're okay helps you, I think that's great. But it's not Narcotics Anonymous. If Hazleton literature helps you, great, use it. But it's not Narcotics Anonymous. Don't treat it like it was NA in the middle of the night. And find out for yourself what stuff with the NA label on it is really Narcotics Anonymous, written by addicts for addicts, and what stuff was written by closed literature committee people who know what's in our best interest, what's good for us. As I warn you, I don't think that it's safe to trust that. That's my opinion. The reality of you not being able to participate in what gave me the most growth in my early recovery is just simply the truth. You can't. And I think that's something we all need to change. Because what made NA big and powerful, and what carries the message, is the literature that was developed in that open participatory frame of reference. I think we ought to open that back up, guys. I think we ought to make that real again. We have a history workshop, which is one of the three events that our group sponsors. One's a 12-step retreat, and one's a history and traditions workshop. I have some fundraiser CDs here where you can take home your very own copy of the gray book, the review form, the approval copy, the first 12 issues of the NA Way, and a group of speakers from the history workshop last fall in Nashville. Our committee likes to get a contribution of $5 for these to help us do the history and tradition workshop. If you want information about it, put your email and your phone number on that pad back there, and we'll put you on our email list and send you flyers. This program worked a miracle in my life. I can share that miracle without service either impeding me or helping me by going to my home group and by doing what I believe is the very most important thing, which is in, by the way, the fellowship-approved basic text, but you're not going to find it in the fifth edition. And it goes like this. Shaping my thoughts with the spiritual ideals that I'm moving toward, I'm free to be who I want to be. Thanks.